I said a moment ago, we're having a plethora of federal pollies visiting our neck of the woods. It's nice that the spotlight has been shone on Newcastle and the Hunter. That's always good to see. Yesterday, Nationals leader and Deputy PM Michael McCormack was here, along with the Deputy Nationals leader from New South Wales, Paul Toole. And today, three senior federal Nationals MPs making their way, one of them being the federal member for New England. And of course, the New England seat does come very much down into our neck of the woods. Barnaby Joyce, who is on the line. Good morning, Mr. Joyce.
Good morning. How are you?
Very
Newcastle.
very well indeed. Thanks for your time this morning. Look, you're here in your own words to highlight the importance of the coal industry, not only to our neck of the woods, but to the country. What exactly will you be doing over the next couple of days?
Well, we've already started, obviously, in Singleton yesterday, $700 million for the bypass there, and that'll be followed at the same time by the Muswell bypass. We've already got the Stone bypass. As you said, New England elected, although I call it New England, the Upper Hunter goes down to Aberdeen, so I'm really not that far from home. In fact, I'm in Scone at the moment. It's really important that we continue to tell the Australian people that our largest export is fossil fuels, and there is nothing to take its place. There is no job for these other people to go to. There is nothing that's going to earn us the export dollars that is here at the moment. There might be sort of a desire, some might say a fantasy that something's going to replace it, but it's just not evident. Therefore, if we remove that industry from Australia, it'll cause a massive dislocation, obviously, in the economy of the Hunter Valley. It'll also cause a massive problem for the economy of Australia. This is a message that has to be got out, because overwhelmingly in Canberra, it is discussed in a way that is removed from the realities of the Hunter Valley and removed from the reality of where actually our nation's economy is going. We're going to have renewables in the future, I understand that, but we should actually be having a coal-fired power station in the Hunter Valley. We should be developing one with the best technology that we can possibly be developed in the world. So as you export that product that you can see in the harbour at Newcastle, we can export the technology with it. But to close our eyes and say, well, it's just, well, those ships in the harbour, I don't know what they're picking up. They must be picking up chooks and not picking up coal. It's a dead industry, is ridiculous.
Well, explain that, if you don't mind, Mr. Joyce, because so many people that are against fossil fuel, specifically the coal, say it's filthy, it's dirty, it's polluting the environment. Explain the carbon capture and the technology that you've just highlighted.
Well, high-efficiency, low-emission coal, fired power stations, is what they say, you know, Japan is moving out of coal. They're not. They're replacing their older coal-fired power stations with new coal-fired power stations. And what this means is we have a lower unit of coal to produce more units of electricity. And this would be the logical, if you want an interim step, that is the logical interim step. What we are seeing, whether we like it or not, is that 500 million people in India are still using solid forms of power, such as wood, dung, whatever they can find, for their predominant source of power. There are 300 million that don't have electricity at all. We're not going to be telling them how to live their lives. They're still going to demand the product. In China, in excess of 660 coal-fired power stations being built. In Germany, they're refurbishing the brown coal-fired power stations. So this, you know, we have to, if we want to be part of the world in a cleaner future, then we should do it from a logical basis, which is developing the technology so that the product that we sell, and you are selling it, and it is supporting your economy, is probably one of the basis of the Hunter Valley economy, that we do it in such a way as we export the technology with it. Now, carbon capture and storage is a difficult proposition, but the proposition of actually making it a cleaner form of emissions, less form of emissions, that is absolutely within our remit and our capacity.
Right. Look, in the press release you put out, you made reference to Labor's the soy latte sipping elite of the inner cities, basically governing what Labor has to say on what some people refer to as a dead industry. But look, I think, and you yourself acknowledge, there's a transition process happening and renewables are becoming more important. But surely, you know, the fight at the moment is with the Liberal National government in New South Wales. I mean, they're the ones that have now nominated Michael Johnson, one of the state National MPs, moved the motion to make sure that the Hunter was part of these renewable energy zones. They're pushing renewables, I think wind, solar, and pumped hydro. Surely your stoush is really not with Labor, it's with the New South Wales Liberal National Government, Barnaby.
No, the stoush is with, basically, there's no stoush. It's about a statement of economic fact, a statement of the reality of where we are in a global economy. Of noting that your listeners, even as they listen to this, if they look at the shirt they got would have come from overseas. I bet you the car they drove came from overseas. The fuel inside it came from overseas. The phone you're listening on, or the radio you're listening on, came from overseas. The television you watch comes from overseas. And all these products come in on a boat. And somebody somewhere must be putting something on a boat and sending it in the other direction. And if you go down to Newcastle Harbour, you'll see one of the main ones of those, which is fossil fuels, whether you like it or not. We don't make BMW motor cars. We don't make computers. We don't make bridges. We should, maybe we should, but we don't. So we have to be economically rational in exactly how our economy works. Now, the renewables will have a section of the economy. They already do, and they'll be part of the mix. But there's a belief that they'll just dominate the mix or be the majority of the mix, and this is an absurdity. And if we go round it now, if we want zero emissions, let's just look at it. You say, well, if we really want zero emissions baseline, it's nuclear. And then people say, no, we don't want nuclear. We don't like nuclear. Chernobyl, fair enough, 1954 Soviet technology. If you've ever driven around a 1954 Soviet car, you can see why that came unstuck. They don't want nuclear, so then you say, okay, coal. Oh, I don't believe in coal. Gas, don't like fracking. So you say, well, hang on, this is getting a bit difficult. Well, how about wind power? They go, go up to Nundle, go to Kentucky. No, don't like wind power. Even Bob Brown and Christine Newell from the Greens now wanting to fight against wind towers in Tasmania and ban the use of the interconnector for wind power. So that one's coming unstuck. You say we have to build a pump hydro. No, we don't want to stop the creeks. We don't want to stop the rivers. Don't believe in that. And so how does this equation actually work? You know, how do we actually have an economy? I mean, what are we going to do? Where does the electricity come from? So I think what part of our role is to just, we might be saying what's popular, but to say what's practical and to say to people, if you have an alternative right now, not a dream of an alternative, that's going to get the person in Musselbrook and give them the same paid job in a different industry and be able to put something on the boat to maintain those terms of trade that supports your life so evident, if you just look around in everything you do at the moment, then you've actually got to it's got to be a real thing. It's actually got to be there. It can't be a dream.
Are the Nationals going to take the seat currently held by the member for Hunter, Joel Fitzgibbon?
Well, that's a question for... That's got two premises. First of all, it's a question for the people of the Hunter. You never see be so bold and so full of yourself to say, oh, yeah, we'll take it. You give people an alternative and they can make a decision as to which way they vote. That's a democracy. It's also a question for whether the member for Hunter... I know that he's not getting along very well with Mr. Albanese. And I know that, the left, which, you know, the members of Shortland, Pat Conroy, he's of the left. And then you've got the right, which is people like Merrill Swanson and Joel Fitzgibbon. But if that schism is in the Labor Party becomes more and more apparent, and it seems to be becoming more and more apparent, the question has to be asked, will those people actually continue to serve under Mr. Albanese and Pat Conroy when they see the left basically off in pixie land and going to destroy people's jobs?
Nice to have a chat this morning. Welcome back to our neck of the woods. Enjoy the next couple of days. You're having a break over Christmas?
Yeah, as soon as I've finished here, I'm going to go up and stay in a caravan park with the daughters for a few days and have a bit of a break with them. And then I'll just get back to the property and do a bit of work. And actually, working for me back on the farm is I find that relaxing. Other people find it work. I find it relaxing.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yes. Thanks. We don't talk
all
to you before.
All the best to people in Hunter Valley.
Good on you. Thank you. Member for New England, Nationals MP Barnaby Joyce. He, along with David Gillespie, the member of the line, which of course now takes in Maitland, and also the Nationals Deputy Senate Leader, Matt Canavan, will all be in our neck of the woods today and tomorrow. Good to have them here, shining a bit of a spotlight.